the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, Romans chapter 8. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to begin with verse number 31. And we'll just go from there. Romans chapter 8, and verse number 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's pretty good, isn't it? Woo! What shall we say then to these things? What things? Anything. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, you notice on that verse, they have chosen to put in brackets words that are added for clarification. If God for us, who against us? Amen. But it's easier to understand if you add the little words. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. So I want to talk a little bit tonight on this subject, practicing His presence. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. I heard a story one time about two men. They were walking down the street in New York City. The hustle and the bustle was all going on. And all of a sudden, this one man stopped and he said, "Can you hear it? You hear it?" And his friend said, "Hear what?" He said, "I hear a lot of stuff. Car horns and people talking and walking and all." He said, "What? What do you hear?" He said, "I hear a cricket." And the man said, "How in the world can you hear a cricket and all this?" Amen. And he said, listen. And he listened for a little bit, and finally, sure enough, in all that hustle and bustle, he found his cricket. And the man was amazed. He said, "How'd you hear that?" He said, "I grew up listening to crickets." He said, "I've always heard crickets, and I can always recognize when I hear cricket." The other man grew up in the city. He knew all the noises of the city, and the other man knew all the noises of the country. It just depends on what you are used to hearing. You see, you can be in a service, and there are people that immediately begin to practice the presence of God, and there are others who do not. There are people that can clip fingernails and pass notes and text on their telephone and chew bubble gum and do all kinds of things during a service. Amen. While other people are practicing the presence of the Lord. Amen. You see, the difference is there are some people that they're so used to practicing the presence of God, it's automatic. As soon as the service begins, from the first note of the first prayer or the first word, automatically they're already tuned and they're already tuned into the presence of God, because they are used to practicing the presence of the Lord. Everybody that gets the Holy Ghost, as soon as you get it, you need to start practicing the presence of the Lord. You see, it's not a one-time thing. It's not just something you receive and you feel good, but it's something that you practice every day, all day long. Amen. You just practice the presence, and you get so sensitive that you can just feel God in the strangest places. Places where other people cannot feel God, but because you're used to practicing the presence of God, you'll feel Him there. Adam and Eve practiced the presence of God. The Bible said in the cool of the day, God would come and walk with them, and they instantly recognized when that presence appeared. Now, I don't believe God walked with them in a physical form, but when whatever was going on in the garden, as soon as the presence presence of God appeared, Adam and Eve recognized it. And they walked with the Lord through the garden. Amen. Until the sin that shattered their world and changed everything. They were accustomed to practicing the presence of the Lord. Enoch was a man that was used to practicing, at least after his son was born. The Bible said when his son was born that he began to practice the presence of the Lord. He walked with God. So beginning that 65th year, I don't know what happened exactly, but I know that something happened in the 65th year of his life. And for the next 300 years, Enoch walked with God. He just practiced his presence. No matter what other people were doing, no matter what other people said, no matter whether we was criticized, no matter what anybody else thought about it, Enoch walked with God. And he was translated, and the Lord took him. Amen. Abraham, I don't know when the call came, but at age 75, he began to walk with the Lord. And he began to walk with God. And for the next 100 years, he walked with the Lord. Praise God. He practiced the presence. Amen. And whether he was in Ur, when he walked out of the Ur of Chaldees, and all through the wilderness, to Haran, all the way to the promised land, to Canaan, and then down into Egypt, wherever he was. The Bible said that Abraham was a man that built altars. An altar is a place to meet with God. And so he would build these special places where he could meet with God. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what everybody needs, an altar. It may be a coffee table. It may be the foot of your bed. It may be a favorite chair. It might even be a rocking chair. Do you think you can rock and pray? Sure you can. Amen. You can rock and pray. Amen. And if you're ADD, that might be good. You know, you're doing something. At least you're moving, you know. God can hit a moving target. Go ahead and rock. Amen. But whatever it is, however you need to talk to God, practice His presence. Abraham built altars. Moses got real lonely in the wilderness until God came and talked to him through a bush. You talk about transforming his life from that moment. Moses practiced the presence like he had never before. And for the next years, next 40 years, he practiced the presence of God. You talk about unique. The Bible said that God would talk to Moses just like I'm talking to you. Wow. And he practiced his presence. Hallelujah. It's important that we learn to practice the presence of God. Amen. The Bible says that originally they called him Emmanuel. Isaiah started that. He said, talking about the Messiah, it said, call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Everybody say, God with us. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Amen. God with us. My roommate at Bible college was going to a revival that his brother was preaching up in Texarkana. So he left Houston and headed for Texarkana. And he said he just reached over and got his Bible and laid it right beside him in the seat. And he said, Jesus, he said, I want you to come and ride with me today. He said, I just want you to sit right here beside me and I just want to talk to you. And he said the presence of the Lord just came into that car. And about that time, he ran head on into an 18-wheeler truck. And his car was smashed flat. And it was a horrific accident. And the truck driver wasn't injured. He got out of his truck and he started looking. And he saw my friend walking. And he kept saying, where's the guy that was in the car? What happened to the guy that's in the car? And my friend said, that was me. He said, no, he couldn't be. He'd be dead. And he just had a few scratches. Amen. He said, and the only reason he can figure that he survived is because he said, Lord, I want you to come and ride with me today. Amen. He practiced the presence of the Lord. Amen. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Hallelujah. I have known people that received the Holy Ghost washing dishes. I knew a lady one time, she was seeking the Holy Ghost, like Brother Jonathan's talking about. She was seeking the Holy Ghost, and she was just practicing the presence of God while she was washing the dishes. And all of a sudden, between glasses or plates, she started talking in tongues. Hallelujah. Washing dishes. Amen. I know of a fellow that was driving on the freeway in Houston, and all of a sudden he felt the Holy Ghost. He pulled over on the side of I-45 and started talking in tongues. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. I'm glad he pulled over. Amen. So you see, you can just get the Holy Ghost and you start practicing the presence. We prayed with a dear brother one time for years. I mean, literally years we prayed for him. And he just seemingly just couldn't get through for some reason. And one day, he worked. He was a truck driver, and it was lunchtime. Everybody took off lunch, and he stayed there. They were hauling rocks, and he stayed there on the rock pile, and he just started worshiping and praising God, practicing the presence of the Lord out on that old rock pile, and all by himself in the hot sun in Central Texas, he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just praising God on a rock pile. You just practice the presence, folks. Amen. God is with us. Everywhere you go, God is with us. God is with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, that's exactly the reason that they called him Emmanuel, God with us, is because Jesus Christ was the true revelation, manifestation of God. God was manifest in flesh. God was manifest in flesh. The Bible said that he walked among us. God took on a human body, just like yours and mine, and he walked literally with us. He held babies in his arms. He sat and held little children on his lap. Amen. He walked on water. He calmed storms. Praise God. He prayed for people with fevered brows and they were healed, and blind eyes and they were open, and lame legs and they began to leap, and arms received strength, and sins were forgiven, and lepers were cleansed, and demoniacs were set free. He was God with us. He was God with us. Amen. And then we learn from our reading here tonight in Romans chapter 8, that he's God for us. Everybody say, God for us. God is for us. Hallelujah. Isn't that a good thing to know? God is for you. He's not against you. Unless you're against him, you sure don't want him for an enemy. Amen. But God is for us. He's not only with us, but he's for us. Amen. Brother Hunt, he's on our side. Hallelujah. Glory. You remember when we used to choose up teams? Amen. Depends on what you were going to do. If you needed somebody strong, you'd choose the big guy, you know. But if you needed somebody fast, he might not be the one you'd want to choose. If he's, big and klutzy and uncoordinated, you may not want that one first. Amen. But you know, you remember, you knew who the good ones were. Amen. And you knew who the last ones were. Amen. How well do we remember? Praise God. You know, that's when it got down. They didn't pick. They just said, you take him. No, you take him. No, you take him. Those were not pleasant times for some folks. Amen. But if God is for us, if God is on, and I want God on my side. I do. And the way I get God on my side is I get on his side. Amen. You remember what he said? He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. If you feel like shouting, that ought to make you shout right there. If you're one of those folks that got picked last, amen, still God picked you. He said, I want you on my side. I couldn't do anything for God. I couldn't add anything to God. Amen. There wasn't any great benefit to me being on God's side, but still he said, I want you. So God is for us. And Paul said, if God is for us, who in the world can be against us? Amen. Look at this. Romans chapter 8, 26. He said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For when we know not what we should pray for as we ought, the Spirit make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When you don't even know how to pray, the Holy Ghost will help you pray. When you don't know what to pray for, the Holy Ghost will help you know what to pray for. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to pray in the Holy Ghost. It's good to pray in the Spirit, because the Spirit always knows the mind and the will of God. If you don't know the will of God, pray until you pray in the Holy Ghost. Well, Brother Grissom, how do I know I'm praying in the Holy Ghost? You'll speak with tongues. And when you just start talking in tongues, the Holy Ghost is speaking for you. Amen. And it will always pray in the will of God. The Holy Ghost will never not pray in the will of God. We used to have a term in Pentecostalism we called praying through. Anybody know about praying through? What does that mean? What it says, it means praying through. You just pray till you get through, and you'll know when you get through. Hallelujah. I said, you'll know when you get through. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's like stepping out of darkness into light. It's like stepping in the heat in the air conditioning. Amen. You'll know when you pray through. Hallelujah. You'll know when you get your answer. You'll know when the Holy Ghost prays and you touch God. Amen. And so the Bible says God's for us, folks. Now the devil's going to tell you that God, he's just waiting for you to make a mistake, and he's got some lightning bolts, and oh, if you step out on, he's going to zap you. He's going to fry you. It's a weird idea of God. The Bible said he's for us. Amen. If he wanted to fry us, we'd already be fried. If God didn't want you to be saved, you sure wouldn't be. Amen. God's for you. The devil's tried to kill you a bunch of times, but God's for you. Amen. If the devil could do what he said he could do, there'd never be a person receive the Holy Ghost, because you'd kill him on the way to the altar. There'd be a lot of homicides in church. Amen. People start to the altar and the devil would just kill them before they got there. If the devil's in, but he's not in control, because God is for us. God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. Praise the Lord. So the Spirit makes intercession for us. We used that verse a few weeks ago. We preached from this. But let me read it again. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. God is for us. The Bible said that we have an intercessor in the heavens, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hallelujah. We have an advocate with the Father. The Bible said, I write unto you little children that you sin not. But if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And if we confess our sins, he's just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God he's for us. Don't you let the devil, don't you let anybody else tell you that God's not for you. God is for you. Amen. One of the first things the devil tells you when you mess up is it's too late now. Boy, you stepped over the line. God's done. You're in trouble. Amen. You'll probably never, ever feel God again. He's through with you. You messed up. That's not true. God is for us. God is for us. When you're good, God is for you. When you're bad, God is for you. Now he's not going to excuse you. Don't get me wrong here. God does not excuse wrongdoing. God gives no man permission to sin. Period. Oh, you know, some people are so righteous and they're so used of God. Such a great benefit to the kingdom. God just kind of excuse. No, he doesn't. God doesn't excuse anybody. He holds everybody to the same standard. Do you hear that? He holds everybody to the same standard. What is that standard? Be ye perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now that's a pretty good standard, isn't it? I've heard people say, well, my standard is better than theirs. Well, is it perfect? Like God's perfect? If it's not, you ain't good enough. So quit bragging and get to work. Amen. Praise God. Get off of your high horse. Amen. Get down before the throne and ask God to help you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God is for us. I love this. Let's read a little more Romans chapter 8 here. Look down again, verse number 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God was willing to manifest himself in flesh, form a body, if we call the Son of God, and sacrifice that body for your sin and for mine, how could he not be for you? What will it take to convince you? What more can he give? What more can he do? He said, it's finished! That means God can't do any more about your sin than what he's already done. You just have to accept his sacrifice. Amen. Who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? It's God that justified. Don't you like that? The old devil, you know what the word devil means? Or the word Satan means? It means adversary. It means accuser. The devil's always accusing. That's why anytime you sin, the devil's right there and immediately he starts accusing. You see there? See what you did? You hypocrite. And he starts accusing you because that's what he does. He's an accuser. And he runs to God and he says, God, do you see what they did? See that? See what he did? Look at him. He messed up, God. He accuses. With great glee, he's an accuser. Don't you hate tattletales? I don't like tattletales. Never did unless it was me doing the tattling. I learned early on not to be a tattletale. My brother made sure that wasn't profitable. As you can't stay around mama forever. You got to get over where he work on you after a while. So it didn't take me long to learn tattling wasn't a thing to do around my house. And it didn't work really anyway because my dad didn't like tattletales either. Amen. You went tattling to him, he just about give you a whipping just for tattling. So we learned that wasn't the way to go. But the devil hasn't, he's still a tattletale. He's a talebearer. He's always telling people stuff. And you know what? If you let those tails get you down, amen, he knows that, he'll always keep something stirred up and keep you in a turmoil about it all the time. You just got to learn to let all that stuff go. You can't defend yourself against a bunch of lies. If they want to lie, let them lie. God knows the truth. Amen. And in time, he's going to come in and he's going to make sure that everybody knows you're not a liar. Everybody knows you're not that awful person people said you were. Praise God. It does no good to try to get mad and try to keep folks straight. They just don't worry about them. They're like a gnat. You know, they can't really hurt you, but they just distract you. And then just swat them and go, no, you better not do that. But that's their job, is to get us distracted. The devil just wants to distract you because he knows that God is for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he goes and he tattles before the throne, but it's God that justifies. As soon as you repent, the devil says, the devil accuses you, and God says, I don't know what you're talking about. Because he forgave, you see. And he forgets. He doesn't want to remember it anymore. He just blots it out. He said, here's a book. I don't see a thing in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's for you. And then he went on to say this. He said, who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that's risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God who maketh intercession for us? So, if somebody wants to condemn you, he said, well, that's Jesus' job. And he's for you. He's on your side. He doesn't want to condemn you. He said he came not into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. He came with saving on his mind. He came with forgiveness on his mind. He came with restoration on his mind. He came with redemption on his mind. Amen. And then he goes on to say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God's for you. Turn to your neighbor there and say, God's for you. He's on your side. God's on my side. God's on my side. Next time the devil starts bugging, you just say, get out of here, devil. He's for me. He's on my side. I don't want you around here. He's on my side. God is for me. Next time he starts trying to tell you how God's against you and God's turned his back on you and God won't hear you anymore, you just tell him, shut up, Slewfoot. God is for me. Amen. And if he don't like that, you turn to Romans 8 and just start reading it to him. Amen. God is for us. Amen. And then, this is good stuff right here, God is in us. Jesus told his disciples, he said, the kingdom of God is within you. I've heard people say, you know, that had a hard time understanding the Godhead, and they would talk about when Jesus was praying, and if the Father and the Son were not separate people, they would say, was Jesus praying to himself? Well, in the same sense that you pray to yourself. You're not praying to yourself, but if you have the Holy Ghost and God is in you, where's God? He's in you. He's not sitting on some throne way out there. We're in the distant heavens, and you pray, and it takes, you know, days and days and days and weeks and months for your prayers to ever get there. And then he you know, takes it out and wraps up an answer and sends it back, and it takes days and days. No, he's in you. So when you pray to God, he's in you, just like he was in Jesus Christ. Amen. The kingdom of God is in you. Kingdom of God is not distant, but it's within us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why it's so close. It won't take long to get an answer, does it? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It doesn't take long to get an answer because God is in us. That's close, folks. It's not even a long-distance call. He's right there. Praise the Lord. So God is in us. According to John chapter 14, verse 16, 18, I will pray the Father. He'll give you another comforter which that may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So this is the promise of the Lord. He said, I'm going to be in you. Now, Isn't that exactly what happened in Acts chapter 2? Woo! Hallelujah. The Bible said that the Holy Ghost came, didn't it? Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. If anybody remembers what that said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And cloven tongues like as a fire sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And He was in us. When He was on the earth, He was with us. Now, you and I, we kind of missed out on that. But we got on the in us, and that's the better part. I'd rather have God in me than God with me anytime. Praise the Lord. Because when He's on the inside, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. It's good to have Him on the inside, folks. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so He's not only for us, but He's also in us. Hallelujah. And He's not only in us, but He's coming back to receive us. If He's coming back, He knows where you are. You ever feel like, ever somebody, God doesn't even know where I am? Oh, sure He knows where you are. Amen. Praise the Lord. He knows exactly where we are. Hallelujah. Jesus told us that, didn't He? John 14, 1, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know." Amen. So you see, He's not only with us, He's not only in us, but He's going to come back and receive us. He's where we are right now, but He's also in a place that we're getting ready to go to. God can be in more than one place at one time simply because He's omnipresent. Amen. That's why it's a silly idea to think you could ever get out of the presence of God, because He's everywhere. But you can't practice the presence of God everywhere. You can't practice the presence of God with sin. No, no. You want to sin, He'll let you sin, but you can't practice the presence of God doing that. Amen. He'll just withdraw. He's still there. You just can't see Him, and you can't feel Him, and you can't know Him. But He's there. You know, every backslider ought to be really nervous to know that God's in every barroom. You go to a barroom, He's there. Amen. The dance hall, theater. Amen. Wherever you go, He's there. He's there. Everywhere, He's there. Amen. Praise God. I grew up in the church, and every time I tried to do something wrong, I was miserable. Amen. I remember my friend of mine gave me a cigarette one time, and I was going to be cool, you know. This was before I got the Holy Ghost, and I thought, well, I'll just show them how cool I am. So I just started smoking, and all the time, on the outside, I looked cool, but on the inside, I was dying. I said, "God, I'm going to get cancer. I'm going to die. I'm going to split hell wide open." I didn't enjoy my cigarette. I was so miserable. Hey, man, I snuck off and decided we'd go to the movie, and we did. And lights were out, and I'm thinking, "God knows I'm here. He's getting ready to burn this place down." They're going to find my crispy little body here, and my little mama's going to know that I died and went to hell. And I couldn't enjoy that. Every moment I had in sin was miserable, because I just knew God was out to get me. But really, He was for me. You know what? He protected me, and He got me out of there. He didn't let me get cancer. Praise the Lord. Everything I ever did before I came to the Lord, that was always God's. He's out. He's getting me here. Remember, a dog bit me one time, and I wasn't doing good at the time. I wasn't living right, and I knew I wasn't living right. Amen. I was, and that dog bit me, and I thought, and he did. He got me real good. Broke the skin, left two fang marks, blood, and everything. Amen. And I thought, I'm gonna get rabies and die. Amen. I was a miserable sinner. What little bit I did, I was never happy. Amen. But the joy of the Lord's my strength. I was so happy when I got to quit sinning. It was the biggest relief of my life. And it will be yours too. You never have to worry about that stuff anymore. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because God's for us. And God's in us. And God's coming back to get us. To take us to a place that He has prepared for us. Amen. Hallelujah. I know some people are too sophisticated to get excited about that, but I hope I never get that sophisticated. Amen. If that's ignorance, praise God, let me stay ignorant. Hallelujah. Praise God. If faith is ignorance, may my ignorance increase. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I think it's wisdom to believe in God. I think it's right to believe in God. I know it's peace and joy and righteousness to believe in God because that's what I experience every day. Most of the people that I see that oppose faith, belief in God, creation, are bitter people. You know why? Because most of them forsook their faith to get to that point. I've listened to numbers of scientists trying to explain what happened to them. And most of them will tell you exactly that. I used to be a believer. But in order to believe science, so they say, I had to leave God. Amen. And you know what? There's no proof that their science is right. It takes every bit as much faith to believe their science as it does to believe in God. But when they were with God, they had peace. Why in the world would you leave peace to be miserable? I don't know. Why would you leave joy to get bitter? Don't ask me. I know one thing. God's for me. And God's with me. And God's in me. Hallelujah. And He's coming back for me. I know all that. Praise the Lord. Amen. We love this, don't we? Amen. 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible said, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Everybody say, "With a shout." Don't that sound like He's excited? Amen. Hallelujah. He's coming back with a shout. "With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Amen. All those loved ones tonight that have preceded us, that are sleeping in Jesus. That's what the Bible calls it. They're sleeping in Jesus. And all of a sudden, they're going to hear that shout. They're going to hear that trumpet. And the Bible said, boom, they're going to pop up. Amen. They're going to rise up. Hallelujah. We're going to all stand at attention. "And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Amen. Hallelujah. I still believe that. I still believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I still believe it's going to happen. Amen. Nothing has changed my belief. Woo. The Bible said we ought to comfort one another. We just keep saying, "Well, hey, you know what? Could be any day now." Hallelujah. Are you listening? You listening? Praise God. You hear that shout? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It didn't used to be that way, but I'm glad it's that way now. I remember a little boy. I was a miserable sinner. I was a miserable sinner. Amen. I'd go out and I remember sometimes we had an old trash barrel. Lived out in the country, had a trash barrel. One of my jobs was to burn the trash. I'd take the trash out and dump it in that barrel and burn it. And I remember clear today as I could back then when I was just very young, burning the trash. And I'd look up at the sky and I knew the Lord was coming, and I'd say, "Now the Bible says, Lord, that You're coming back in such an hour as we think not. And I just thought about it, so You can't come right now." Amen. Just because I was telling you, I just thought of it, You can't come because You're coming when I'm not thinking about it. Amen. Isn't that miserable? Oh, I was miserable. Praise God. Hallelujah. But now we can say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Hallelujah. The Bible said that He's coming for those that have prepared themselves, made themselves ready, and are looking for His appearing. So there's going to be a bunch of folks looking for the Lord on the day that He comes. Praise God. Isn't that exciting? We need to practice His presence, folks, every day. Every day. We need to practice the presence of the Lord. Amen. That's when you get up, I remember Brother Alan Oggs. Some of you remember Brother Oggs. Great preacher. I remember him giving his testimony after he had a heart attack. And he was in the hospital. And he asked the nurse, he said, would you please step out for a minute? Amen. If you ever heard Brother Oggs preach, he told these beautiful, simple little stories. But my, he had preached marvelously. And he said, the nurse stepped out and he said he just started out saying, well, you know, there was a man in Israel, his name was Jesse, and he had 7 sons. And then he began to tell the story of David, and he started feeling the Holy Ghost. And he said, there it is. Amen. He said, I just want to make sure that with that heart attack, that it's still there. He said, it's still there. You got to practice the presence, folks. Practice the presence. You do that in your home. When your eyes open in the morning, you start reaching out. Amen. Practicing the presence. Praise God. Hallelujah. In your car driving down the highway, just practice the presence of the Lord. Whatever you're doing, just practice His presence. Just make sure that He's always there. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a great thing. It's a great privilege that is ours to practice the presence of God. Amen. And hear me today. You need to get in the habit of doing this. You know, it disturbs me that people don't keep it and practice it. That sometimes, you know, we have revival and people come and they pray through in the revival and then they don't practice again until something else comes along. This is not a special event thing. This is every day. Every day. Every day. You don't wait for a revival to practice the presence of God. You don't wait for men's conference or ladies' conference or HYC to practice the presence of God. You practice this every day. Every day. Every day. Amen. Praise the Lord, just like Abraham did. Just like Moses did. Just like David did. You practice the presence of the Lord every day. You can practice sitting in a hospital room. Yes, you can. Praise God. Isn't that right, Brother Lovelady? Amen. Brother Lovelady had about a 1% chance that he was going to survive. And the Lord appeared and let him know, no, that's not right. I'm right here. Yes, praise God. And he was there every day. Praise God. When Brother Lovelady couldn't get to the Lord came to him. But you just keep practicing the presence every day. Every day. Every day. You never stop. Amen. Well, Brother Grisham, what if I don't feel like it? That's when you need to practice it. Amen. You need to press through everything else. Amen. I've got to find this. You remember the story of that little lady that lost that coin? The Bible said she stopped everything she was doing. And she grabbed her broom and she grabbed her light. And she started sweeping everywhere. And she shone that light. And she searched until she found that coin, because she realized that was the most important thing. Amen. The shepherd that lost one of his sheep, he left 99. He said, I got to find that one. And he searched until he found it. You know why? Because that was a priority. You make the presence of God a priority in your life. If you're not finding it and feeling it, you'll stop everything until you do. Because it's important to you. It's more important to you than anything else. Practice the presence of Him. Amen. I've told this story before. I want to tell it again in case somebody didn't hear it. There was a little boy that woke in the night and he was afraid. And he called, Daddy? Daddy? And he heard heavy footsteps coming through the darkness to his room. Door creaked open. There stood Dad. And he said, "What is it, son?" He said, "I'm afraid." And his dad said, "Well, what are you afraid of?" He said, "Remember, before you went to bed, remember we prayed?" And then he reminded him. He said, "The angels are right here standing around your room." And he said, "Jesus is right here in your room." And the little boy looked at him with big eyes. He said, "Daddy," he said, "I know." He said, "I know that the angels are here. I know that Jesus is here." And he said, "But I needed somebody with some skin on." I need somebody I can see. You understand? Amen. He practiced the presence of God. But Brother Neil, sometimes it helps somebody have some skin on. Amen. Do you know who Jesus is? He's God with skin on. That's exactly who he is. He's God with skin on. Amen. All these people, God is spirit. The Bible said he's spirit. But one day, he put some skin on so we could see him and feel him, know him. Amen. Praise God. So you practice the presence of God. That's kind of putting some skin on him so you know he's there. You can always feel him. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time tonight and your attention. But hey, let's practice the presence of God. Amen. Make it a daily thing that you always practice the presence of the Lord. Amen. When, you know, we can come to church and I know it's hard sometimes for our ushers back there and people at the back because a lot of activity goes on. Amen. But you got to press through all that and practice the presence of the Lord anyway. Amen. I know that sometimes, you know, there's distractions going in the service, but you can't get distracted. You've got to press through all of that and just practice the presence of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. When we went to Raymondville, Texas, to pastor, our first service there was 16 people there. And for a long time after that, every Wednesday night, there were 16 people there. And thank God for every one of them. Amen. But the building was big and it looked kind of empty. You know what I learned to do? I learned to preach with my eyes closed. Because when my eyes were open, I saw 16 people. But when I closed my eyes, I could see it full. Every pew was full. The parking lot was full. We had to build a bigger building. Amen. And I liked that. So I learned to preach with my eyes closed because I could see better with my eyes closed than I could with them open. It took some time, but you know what? Before we left Raymondville, Texas, the pews were full. And the parking lot was full. And we added on to the building. Praise God. Amen. Because sometimes you can see better with your eyes closed than you can with them open. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, but you practice the presence of the Lord. And you remember the promises God has made to us. Do you remember the promises that God has made to you? Sometimes you have to close your eyes to see that. Hallelujah. You look around and it looks like it's not going to happen. But you close your eyes and suddenly it all becomes clear. Lord, I believe what you said. I believe what you showed me. I believe what you said to me. You're going to do what you said. You're faithful, God. I can trust you. Amen. Practice the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you feel it? Can you feel His presence here? Can you feel His presence in this place? Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. Your presence is here. Hallelujah, you're in the house tonight. I can feel you in this place. I can feel you in this place. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.